boondoggle. Boondoggle? Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen. Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaky! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark Lennon-Kuh-Wheeler, and broadcasting from a new area tonight. Cleaned out my shop finally, and the wife has delegated me to doing the show from now on in the shop. So now I can look at all my tackle and tell you straight on what I've got. All right. Get right to it. We have back from his time with the wonderful Sandy, Mr. Matt Trucks in the chat room. What's going on, buddy? Good to see you made it out, at least in somewhat of one piece. that was a wicked storm there, bud. Good to see you back. That's pretty much it right now. But tonight's show is about specs. Both varieties. I'm going, what do you mean both varieties? I'm talking about saltwater speckled trout and the illustrious crappie. White, black, whatever you want to call them. Everyone calls them speckles or speckled bellies or whatever. We're going to break it down, starting with, you know, the saltwater variety, because that's the one that a lot of us are going after right now that have the ability to. You know, for those of us in the South, a Virginia South from there, I think Maryland can still get into them. Same thing with Pennsylvania. We're going to hit those two because I'm starting to find a deep love for them. They're a lot of fun. You don't need some crazy gear for them. A Barbie pole from Walmart does excellent. We'll get right to the saltwater variety. Right now, there's a really good speckled trout bite here in Virginia. Some really large fish are being caught, along with some, you know, the usual, you know, 14 to 16 to 18 inch fish. And I mean, it's just outstanding right now. I can't say, I was out the other day and, you know, caught my limit in, you know, an hour, at least my limit. I catch four and I'm good. That's my sustainable, outreach that I know that I can sustainably eat without wasting any of the fish. That is my personal opinion. Entirely up to you. Anyway, let's get right to it. The speckled trout bite's on, and there's a lot of different ways that guys are catching them right now. The biggest one that I use is trolling. This is the time of year, or starting the beginning of the time of the year, where I really like to troll for speckled trout. And, I mean, if you can get them right and you can figure out your troll speed, distance, and everything else, you can really do well. And this is how I break it down and how I set up all my gear. And it's really simple. I use basic spinning or bait casting gear, same thing you'd use for largemouth bass. Something with a little bit of flex to it because they do have a really soft mouth. For example, the Akuma makes a great combo. It's cheap. It's only like $50. It's a Safina, S-A-F-I-N-A, Pro combo. It's a short rod. I mean, it's no more than probably 5-6 feet, 5.5-6 foot. It throws a lure a mile. You throw a quarter ounce jig head on there, like a Slayer Inc. Predator jig head or Destroyer jig head with a chicken on the chain. Or a purple Nurple or Goldfinger. Goldfinger is tearing them up right now. But you put that on there, and you can toss it away. The reel is really high quality. It It doesn't hold a lot of line, but then again, you don't really need a lot of line for this kind of fishing. You know, we're talking maybe 100 yards of, I use 20-pound braid, and it holds it really well. I don't get barely any back wind knots with it. Really good stuff. That's my casting setup. When I'm, I use a Penn Fierce rod. I can't stand the reels. Personal opinion. You know, if anyone else has a Penn Fierce and they love it, good, more power to you. I'm just having a real problem with the reels. And I've kind of decided, you know, this time now that, you know, I'm not really going to spend a lot of money on my gear. A lot of it's for clients. You know, I spend my money on my offshore gear. That's where I really need it the most. But, you know, the Fierce rod, great rod. It's the same. It's the smallest. It's one of the smallest reel on it from Bass Pro. Easiest way I can explain it. It really does well. It throws really, really nice. But the great thing about it is it's got a good flex to it. It's really sensitive, and, you know, it's got a flex to it, but then it has some backbone as well. So it's a great striper rod. It's a great bluefish rod. It's a really good puppy drum rod. It really holds those puppy drum down hard. You got a really good hook set. I mean, it's a good setup all the way around. But I actually replaced that reel with a old Penn, one that I've had for years and years and years. It's a little Penn. It's an old Spinfisher. It's one of the smaller ones that they made. I think it's maybe like a 400 or 450. It's a great little reel. I mean, it's older than dog piss, but you know, that's when Penn was really good back in the day, and they're becoming much better throughout the time that you see now with their new Spinfisher series and everything else. And I'm not promoting Penn. I'm not sponsored by Penn. Just, you know, I got some old coffee grinder style ones, and I'm looking at them right now. I got a 750 Spinfisher, the old one. No bail, just the knob. I got two reels with knobs on them. I've got a newer Spinfisher, probably the second generation, I guess. It's an okay reel, has some issues with it. The handle keeps getting out of whack on big fish. But then I got a couple of these smaller ones, and I really like them. You know, no insignia left on them, that's how beaten up they are, but they've worked great. And they're, you know, they have really good drags on them, which is important. These Fierce, to be perfectly honest, I've blown through three drags on the Fierce already on three different rigs. So, you know, if you like them, great. If you don't, you know, that's fine too. Just telling you all what I see. Now, that's the spinning setup. On the bait casting setup, I use all my Shimano, all my Akuma bass reels. You know, the Akuma, I got the Komodo, works excellent. The old Canons, the C-A-E-N-O-N's, or N-O-N, whatever they call it. A great reel. I've beaten the thing up like something fierce, man. But it doesn't die on me. My old Daiwa Strike Force, the high-speed reel, I can't destroy that damn thing. I've had it for about four seasons now. If you can find a Strike Force and it's pretty much new, you've got a reel that'll last you for a long time. Excellent reel. I just need to clean it out. Starting to stick a little bit, but you know, it's a, you know, those are what I'm looking at. For rods, 6'6", 7 foot tops, on my bait casters. Reason for that, they've got a little more flex to them, so I can real slow, almost eloquent cast is the best way I can put it. You know, nice long wind up. And then, you know, a slow cast, and then right at the last second, snap the wrist to get that tip to shoot. You know, basic, you know, slow action casting, long-distance casting kind of procedure. I use a little bit longer butts on mine, personally, my longer trout rods. And, yeah, I mean, just excellent. I mean, they cast a mile. But the perfect trolling setup, and I actually prefer trolling with my bait casters more than my spinning rods. Now they're all loaded with it's either 20-pound or 30-pound Power Pro. I've actually got one that I'm going to try this year with JB hollow braid. It's a 40-pound hollow braid. We'll see how that works. I've been using the hollow braid on the offshore boat for vertical jigging and popping for tuna. That's an 80-pound. We have an 80 and 120 rigs pound setup, both with Rod 2 reels and Okuma Rod 2s and Shimano Butterfly Series rods. If you can find, Bass Pro had them for a while for about $120. Those Crucial, I think they are. I don't have it in the shop. It's in the truck. Rods are just out of sight. They'll throw small baits. They'll throw big baits. Vertical jigging like a champ. Really sensitive. Really comfortable. I can't say enough about them personally. But, again, a good rod for offshore. But I got off point here. But for my trolling for speckled trout, I use primarily four baits for trolling for speckled trout. Two of them are kind of out of there, at least to some guys. They kind of look at me weird. The other two are basic. The first one is a mirror lure. Trolling two different styles of mirror lures. The 17MR, that little rattle is great. The one, you know, it's got a little orange head with the silver body, excellent. I call it the brown clown. With the orange body, brown back, works excellent as well. The purple nurple, which is a black back, purple body. Any of the speckled ones were great. Those, kicking off the chain, I think is another one, or clown color. All excellent colors. And, all depends on where the fish are. Actually, if I'm going to, use mirror lures for that day, let's say I'm getting a lot of short strikes on my soft plastics. That's the other one I use is a soft plastic paddle tails, quarter ounce jig head. I'm only trolling maybe, a knot and a half, if that. So I can get away with a 12, a quarter ounce jig head. I can't say enough about the Slayer jig heads with a, Slayer SS sinister swim tail. Bait on the back of there. But if I get a lot of short strikes, which will happen, you'll be sitting all of a sudden, that rattle go down and pop back up. You bring it in, you got a couple of teeth marks in the tail. I'll switch to mirror lures. And, with the trolling with those soft plastics, if you're in the current, the bait's going to be a little higher. If you're with the current, it'll drop lower. And I can never really figure that out right off the bat. So what I'll do, one rod, that's a 17MR. Boom, it goes back. Okay. And that's one of the first ones I'll throw is at 17. The 58MR is the first one I'll throw. Reason for that is because I'm getting the other one ready and throwing that back. That's my giving my other bait enough time to drop down in the water column. Remember, it's about a second a foot with those 58MRs. So, literally, I have the other rod ready. I toss out that 58MR, get the distance I want, put it in the rod holder, and I'll take two or three strokes forward to get that bait running. Well, I get the other rod, I toss out that 17. And all my lines, I use the high vis sometimes. Most of the time, it's just the regular old moss green. I take a little bit of white out, okay? And I pay out, 10 yards, dop of white out. 10 yards, dop of white out. 10 yards, two dots of white out. Or however you want to do it. I think it's every 10 yards, one extra dot up to about 40 yards. That's as far back as I'm looking to go with any trolling setups for speckled trout. There's some areas in Lynn Haven and other spots where you need a good, distance back to get a little bit deeper, especially in Rudy, in front of the aquarium. It's really deep there, so you want that bait to be kind of low. But I'll pay out as much line as I need on that one, on my 58 rod, which is the Canon with a Crucial. Is it Crucial? It's one of the Shimano's. has a little bit more of a backbone to it because the line is deeper and there's a little bit more of a bow in the line. Now I'm just talking techniques and thought process of all behind that. Using a little bit stiffer rod when you have a bait deep and farther back is smart because you've already got a slack in the line. It doesn't matter if you're using braid or not, you're going to have that slack, a little bit of give. So when a fish hits it, the give that you normally would have with trolling like this on a species with such a soft mouth is the slack in the line. So he's going to get in his mouth, he's going to turn, he's going to move, and then the rod's going to pick it up. And it's literally a split second, slower than my other rods. But I find it works so much better for me. You might not agree. That's your opinion. And with this setup, like I said, it's just the bee's knees. Where was I at? Okay. So that other bait's down. I tested that 17. That's going to stay about a foot underneath the surface, and that's why I want to like it. Now I'm working two stages of the water column. And remember, trout like the feet up. They have a real their mouth kind of points up in a sense. So they like the feet upwards. So theoretically, if I'm fishing 10 feet, at 58, I want about 8 feet off the bottom, about 2 feet off the bottom. So it's running about 8-foot depth. So if they're laying on the bottom and they're looking up, like trout, they have their eyes are oriented toward the top of their head. As that bait comes over top of them, they're going to come up and feed. Now, let's say they're suspended, right? Let's say in their 10-foot water column, my 58's running at 8 feet, but those fish are sitting at 5. They will go down, yes, but a lot of times they'll move up in the water column and take out that 17 MR. It's a smaller bait, smaller presentation. It works. It's what the way things are going to work. But if I'm consistently getting bites on the surface, which I tend to do sometimes, or baits on the bottom, I'll switch up. And I'll throw two 58s or two 17 MRs, and they will, and then I'll start getting doubles and getting a lot of that fun. So play with it, enjoy it. Like I said, with the soft plastic baits, Storm, the 3 or 4 inch ones, the small ones were great. Especially the lighter they are, the better. And I actually run mono on those because the mono floats and will kind of pick them up a little bit more. Off the bottom, but I want them just to tick a little bit. Now, for the two other ones, my first one, I'm taking from the bass side, okay? That's a square bill crankbait. That's going to dive about 2 to 4 feet, maybe less, depending on how fast I'm going. And it's really a killer. The chartreuse works great, or the fire tiger. Whatever it is, they like that fire tiger color. And literally, I'll be calling that, and all of a sudden that rod will bounce down, and I got a 17 literally right next to it, mirror lure. And it's just one of those things where, sometimes that different bite or that different vibration or look is what they're looking for. Another one is an old brown one, if you can find it, works great. Along that same premise is a rattle trap. They actually make a floating rattle trap now that dives down, and then when you stop, it floats back up. I'm doing really well with that one. I really enjoy that one a lot. You can also make your own. It's pretty simple. A floating rattle trap is you take a small bit, probably a 16th-inch bit. I haven't done it in a while. You put a hole in the top right behind the line hoop, okay? And you squirt a little bit of, if you can find it, with a small enough hose, a little bit of spray and foam. Literally, it's half a pop, just enough to get a little bit in there. And now you got a floating mirror lure that actually will dive, thanks to the way it's designed, how it lifts down. It's not going to dive deep, but it will dive. It will still have the rattles in it, because especially with the rattle traps or the red-eye shads, they tend to have a enclosed chamber on the bottom side to hold those rattles, the BBs. Okay. That's the other one. And then my Elizabeth River big boy hammer. This one is a monster trout killer. I've taken this from my offshore experiences, and it's something that I played with last year a little bit, but it really came into its own this year, and that is a bridled split tail mullet. Okay, and it's a pretty simple. Let me rephrase that. It can be complicated setup for trolling, but it works. I caught some really nice fish on it last year. One of my biggest, a 25-inch trout, came on a split-tail mullet, and I kind of kept it hush-hush on how I did it, but I'll explain it to you. I had to get a drink of my beverage. Let's see here. I got a sound bite for that. There it is. One more time. All right. How I do my split-tail mullet is simple. Find a video online on split-tail mullets. You're going to do it probably on a big corn cob. I have a fillet knife that's actually been, you know, whittled down to a point where it's a real thin blade. Literally, really, really thin blade, but it's super sharp. And it's real short. It's probably about 4.5 inches. But what I do is I take about a 4 to 5 inch frozen mullet. As long as it's been salted, you'll be fine. If you still have mullet around, like the guys in North Carolina, this is a great thing to do. Cast in a bunch of those little mullets. Lay them out. Well, let me take the step back. If you're going to do this, this is how you're going to do it right. Have a bucket with salt, baking soda in it already, and ice. You can use freshwater ice as long as you have salt water in there, basically creating that slurry. Okay, you catch the mullet, you drop them straight in that bucket. They're instantly gonna go, okay? It's a shock to their system. You see them floating belly up. Leave them in there, all right, until you get back to the boat ramp. And then what you're going to do at the boat ramp, is the best way to do it, hands down, okay, is you're going to take a thing of non-iodized salt, sea salt, if you can afford it. Kosher salt works great. Lay out those fish. I actually kind of cheated and found on the side of the road after Sandy those really nice, they weren't really nice, kind of busted up, flats they use for brain fart. Bread, the bread flats, okay? And you lay it all your mullet on there. I do this ramp while I'm sitting there talking to people, because you know, that's why I enjoy this sport so much. But I go ahead and lay them out, and then I sprinkle the salt, and then I sprinkle some baking soda over top. Bait Masters, I think, make a super brine, especially with you when you brine the baits. But I'll salt them like that. And I let them sit for about 10 minutes. So I start to see that little moisture on the fish. I'll flip them over, do the same thing, and then I bag them up in sets of 12. Now, these are great cut baits. Now, these are great split tails, like I'm talking about. Great for chumming, too, if you need to chunk a little bit. But what you do is you pull one of them out after it's been thawed, and right at the back of the vent, go up a little bit farther up towards the head, probably about a quarter to a half an inch, and insert your fillet knife into the mullet, okay? And then you're going to basically fillet them back real slow, grinding over top of that. Make sure your blade doesn't break through the backbone, all the way down to get to the tail, and then you're basically just going to fillet that tail so it comes out in its own piece, okay? And then I flip them over, and I kind of wiggle my knife on top of the backbone again, do the same thing until I get to the tail. At that point, I'm just going to, you know, regular, just fillet that backbone out, pull that out, and I've got two tail pieces, okay, with the tail attached with a piece of backbone. All I do is I break that backbone off, and that's as far as I go. It's really hard to pull the backbone or debone a small that small. You can do it, yes. Do I recommend it? Kind of no. Because of how difficult it can be. But then what I do is I have a 10-inch rigging needle with a hoop on, or a little open eye on the back end. And I rig a 3-inch piece of single strand wire with the hook on one end and just a regular haywire twist on the other. So now I have about a 2 3/4-inch piece. You actually go shorter than that. Depending on the size of your hook, you can go all the way down to about an inch piece of a wire total. What I do is I hook that wire through there. I take the needle right through the top. I'm following the backbone, okay, on the top of the fish, all the way through, punch it through the head, pull the wire through. Now I pull the wire through, and then I pull the hook through a little bit farther. So what all I'm trying to do is just put that end of the haywire twist that I'm going to hook my line to. That's what I just want, that barely sticking out, okay? And I want that hook not to be wobbling very much, because then that'll impede and snag on that mullet while he's swimming. And I want that just being embedded in there as well. The hooks that I use for this, okay, I use a wire 4-aught Mustad circle hook. If you can find them, I found them at a sports show in one of those discount bins. It was like a pack of 100. It was 100. And I got 3 of them sitting here. So I must have bought 3 packs. Oh, 4, because I went through one last year. It's got a really good hook on it. Yes, it's wire. It has a little bit of give. But I haven't broken one yet. I've caught some really nice fish on them. Some really big flounder, some really nice redfish. Mustad, I can't say enough about them. So that hook is just barely sticking out, and that hook point you want to be just, it's got a kind of a long shank on it, and that hook point is about a quarter to a half inch from the body where you made your initial poke through. Okay, so there's a gap that keeps that bait flowing. It also allows when that mullet or that speckle, when he crunches down on that mullet, it kind of breaks down, and then just the movement of me going forward hooks him up automatically. It is a great little setup. How big are the mullets? About 5 to 6 inches. My biggest ones are 6. I use all the way down to 4-inch ones, those smaller ones. But then what I do is I just take a really long shank Mustad hook, do the same thing, split tail if I can. If you can't get the tail to split, then just 2 flaps of meat will do the job as well. And I just take that long shank, like you use on old bluefish rigs, the popper rigs, they're Matt, but with the larger gap. Probably, I guess that would be like a 2 or 3-aught. I've got hundreds of them from my grandfather. And then I just kind of push that through until the eye comes out. And if I do it that way, I issue both ways. What you do for either technique is that little piece of wire that's sticking out of there, go ahead and invest in some copper wire, the short copper wire you can buy it in tube, pre-cut, something like $2. I just make a couple wraps on either the hook shank, on the long shank hook, or on the haywire, okay? I'm just kind of trying to figure out a way to tie that on there. It just takes a couple wraps on there. And right where you come out on top of the head, theoretically, okay, is right above the gills, okay? And all you're doing is, from where you're coming out at, is you're just taking that copper wire down in through the gills, up through, and just do that 2 or 3 times. They will naturally keep their mouths closed. You don't need to do anything special with them. You're not trolling super fast. If you have a bunch that starts spinning on you, just change them out. I mean, you've already got the setups made. It should be pretty easy. Just wire that there so it's pulling from the head. Now, if you're having a problem where you're using some larger ones, the 6-7-inch ones, then you're going to want to wire the mouth shut. Just bring the wire up, make a couple of loops through the lips. They got a pretty soft lip right behind the main big old kisser. So you just kind of do a couple loops through there, bring it back, If you want to put the eyes, you can. I find I don't really need to. But it's as simple as that, and they're done. Hook them up. If you want to drop them back a little bit farther, you could always add an inline sinker. you can do an inline sinker. I just find that the bass bullet weights, like you'd use on a pitching or whatever, in the half ounce size, because you are using a larger bait, works excellent. It comes right down to the swivel, or if you're using a swivel, or if you're using the haywire, if you're tying straight on to the long shank, it comes straight down, holds right there, keeps them weighted down, and works great. So those are my speckled trout rigs. They work well. Like I said, I don't usually do the split tail. I don't usually do the crankbaits, but the other two, the mirror lures and the shad tail baits, I use more than anything else. Certain situations bring on the split tail. Certain situations bring on the when we dine cool guys, the square bill crankbaits, and that's all situational. I'm not going to give you each situation, but if you're in the Elizabeth River and you see me trolling and killing them, most likely I'm doing it on a split tail mullet. Okay, let's get right into the next thing, and that's crappie speckles. People in Georgia and everyone else calling. I just started fishing for them actually last weekend. I've caught them before in my bass pursuits and the tournaments and whatever else. But I wanted to see if I can actually target the species and do well. And I spent last Sunday, going after them. And I caught probably about 60 of them. So I can say I did pretty good. And I used as many techniques as I can research online. Let me take a step back. Online research, okay, nowadays, any Joe Schmoby can become an expert by spending, 2 or 3 hours online and just reading, watching videos, stuff like that. That's basically what I did. And I took the knowledge that I had before of these fish, talking with other anglers, catching them by accident, things like that. And I kind of, went through my notes and my catch logs and everything. And what I came to realize is that these are kind of like the speckled trout, the stripers of the freshwater scene. These are the fish you can go and fish for them all year long. I didn't realize it. Dude, they catch these things up in like Minnesota and Wisconsin through the ice, okay? And you can also not only catch, crappie, but you can catch some really nice bluegill as well. And I did. I caught a dozen, hand-sized bluegill. Biggest ones I've ever caught by using, some of these techniques. And the main ways guys fish for them that I found were throwing small baits, the beel spins, throwing rooster tails, the old MEP spinners. They got some small crankbaits now for them. Those are the artificials, small little hula jigs and stuff like that. And then you got the bait guys who are throwing leeches. I saw one guy, online, he was tearing them up with leeches. But for here, and what a lot of guys say, is minnows, or the small little minnows. I spend too much time in the South. But the minnows, or minnows, on a bobber, basic stuff. And on Sunday I went ahead, I picked up, 3 dozen minnows. So I figured I'd catch a bunch of other stuff, or I'd lose them, or get snagged, or whatever. And I had some small beetle spins. I had some smaller stuff that I figured I could orientate towards these the species. And I went to a local lake, Lake Smith. If you were here at the Boondoggle, and you went down Northampton or Route 13, and you saw the two lakes, you're kind of on that little land bridge going through between the two lakes. It was right there. And I started right off by throwing four rods, my basic four. And I was, you know, getting bites on the minnows, getting bites on the beetle spins and everything else, but I was missing them left and right. Finally, I caught one, and it was a, you know, nice little 8-inch fish. I'm going, okay, what did I do different? That's when I realized I didn't set the hook. I was kind of reeling it in. I didn't realize he was on until he was almost at the boat, and, you know, I went, okay. Now, either he hit it right next to the boat, or he hit it way back there. I just didn't feel him. And I just kept on reeling, and he naturally set the hook on himself. So I'm sitting there, and I had the bobber out with the minnow underneath it. And watched it go down. I picked it up, and I just reeled, and I hooked him. And I'm using a J-hook. And I'm going, now that light bulb went off. I'm like, aha, they're not a bass. I don't need to tear the face off. I'm using a little heavier gear than I normally would, so I don't need that you normally would use for something like a crappie. I'm using my speckled trout rig. So I don't need to set the hook. Naturally, the rod is stiff enough that when I start reeling, because I reel like a madman, is that momentum of me just reeling and coming tight is enough to set the hook on these fish. So that's what I kind of did, is I kind of broke that down. My little Safina, because it does have a lot of whip to it, I had to set the hook on them. I dropped like four or five fish, you know, next to the kayaks. They weren't hooked with that Safina. I started setting the hook, and I didn't miss another fish. So tailoring your gear you have already to your species and how you approach, you know, catching them is key. So, but anyway, a basic minnow rig for a crappie is one of those wooden balsa wood bobbers. The style, you got the thin, you got the fat ones. It doesn't really, it's all personal preference. I read one guy who's like the crappie king of Arkansas swears by the thin ones. You know, the crappie king of Louisiana, or I mean, I think I got Arkansas, let's think of someplace else. Missouri, there you go. The crappie king of Missouri swore that you had to use ones of fat, you know, like the badonkadonks. You know, skinny, but then he's got a big old booty, that kind of one. So, you know, it seemed like personal preference and how they were fishing them. I just went ahead and bought the cheapest one, which was the badonkadonk style with the big old booty. I think I got like five of them for a buck. It was at the discount store. And I went ahead and used 12-pound fluorocarbon, nothing special, okay, about 3 feet of that. A split shot, and then a size 1 Oshanzi mustad hook. That's all I did. I hooked them through either between the back, you know, depending on what I wanted to do. If I wanted to dive down and really dig, I hooked them to the back, right above the, right behind the dorsal fin, and that sucker dove down. I watched that bobber bounce, and then saw him go under. I knew he had a fish. Or I hooked them to the nose, and it was just out of sight. I had so much fun catching these little fish like that. Old Bill in Kansas, what's going on, buddy? I'd like to welcome Old Bill in the chat room. You're in Wichita, I believe, correct? Or just outside of Wichita there, Bill. I haven't seen you in a while. Welcome back. Crappie and Kansas are big. You know, my parents live in Kansas City now, or Topeka. I think it was one of the two. It was one of the Kansas University, the K-State or Kansas State. you know, they live in there, and I get my brother who is in Air Force, who's at boot camp right now for the Air Force in San Antonio. I'd like to give him a shout-out and the best of luck to you, buddy. Sent you a package. You're probably not listening to this, but Best of luck to you, kiddo. But I got my brother hooked on catching crappie out there. And it was just by freak accident, because we were fishing for bass and catfish, and we started catching crappie. So then he became a crappie head. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, it's a real simple setup. Great for kids. You know, you drop them out there and, you know, wait for the bobber to go down. Using that stiff enough rod, just tell the kids to start reeling. Don't set the hook. Just reel, kiddo. Just reel, reel, reel. And they get all excited, and they reel them up. Took my kids out later that day on Sunday after I caught a bunch of them and I knew where they were. And the other stuff, beetle spins. You know, that's why I said you could use a Barbie rod for these damn things. I see guys using, like, 12-foot rods on these boats. It's just like, dude. Don't have to get all crazy. Just a simple, you know, light-action rod. You know, the $10 one you can buy at Walmart. You know, change out the line to maybe some 10-pound Power Pro, you know. Don't get too crazy. It's a small fish. Yeah, they fight pretty good on a light tackle, but it's still a small fish. You know, lighten your drag up and enjoy it. You know, beetle spins or small crankbaits. They got 150 million crappie jigs out there. And baits and whatever else, because we all know that, you know, freshwater fishermen love to tinker with baits, and, you know, you've always got the next great bait coming out, and that's why freshwater is so much fun. But, yeah, I mean, they just, you know, play around with it. Anything you're looking for, submerged wood. For me, personally, that was the thing, was I know where every brush pile is on one side of this lake, and I hit every last one of them, and I pulled crappie off of pretty much, I'm going to say, 75% of each one. You know, you sit there and you throw the beetle spin, you throw the little, it's literally like an inch long little crankbait. Throw the crankbait through there, nothing. I had an inline MEP spinner and the wolf one, the fox one, I forget which one, whatever that damn thing's called. And I run that through there, I didn't get a bite. Okay, I throw that minnow in there, and all of a sudden the minnow goes down, I hook them up. They're kind of like golfing. Once you hook one, the rest of the school kind of gets active. And, then I go right back. I throw that inline. Now I'm catching the inline. I'm catching them on the beetle spin. I'm catching them on everything else. You know, that's a lot of fun to do. And it's a great, I realize that this is a great confidence booster. Anyone who's fished the bass tournaments knows that, you know, after a while, man, you just want to shoot yourself because you just can't catch a fish. He's thinking, God, I lost my touch. I can't get a fish. Now I know I can sit there, tie on an inline spinner, find a submerged, you know, clump of, you know, wood, throw it on top of it, and I'm going to catch a crappie because I have that much confidence. And, you know, it's an inline spinner. It's probably an inch and a half, 2 inches long. I'm looking at it right now. It's got a gold blade. It's got a speckled black and black body with a bunch of yellow speckles on it, and a funky little tuft of colored hair. It's like an orange and green and white, and oh, there's a purple. Yeah, there's purple. And it was excellent. It was my thing, and now I've got one tied on my super ultralight Whammy Dine Cool Guy rod. Old Bill says, in Kansas, fishing game puts in cedar trees and this GPS coordinates where they are. That is awesome. That's why I love Kansas, because, you know, if you ever get a chance to hunt or fish Kansas, I mean, the license to, out-of-state license to hunt is dirt cheap. The license to fish out-of-state is dirt cheap. They want you to come into Kansas. They want you to spend your money. They want you to have a good time and catch and kill a lot of animals. I love it. Love Kansas. For that, in that sense. So, anyway, you can have an absolute blast. They're great for kids. And, you know, if the salt water is getting too rough, then you can go ahead and fish for the speckled trout or the crappie using the same thing. You're just going to go out for your... Darn it, for your other speckles. Just change your lures. Simple as that. Drop down your line a little bit, and you know you're in it like Flynn, and they're pretty good tasting. I kept like three of them. Little fish fry, you know, put them on a, you know, stacked about three fillets on a Kaiser roll. Throw some of that tasty stuff on there. A little bit of tartar sauce, and threw a slice of smoked Gouda on top, and you know, I was down for the count. I mean, just tearing into it. You know, and they're, like I said, they're pretty good. They're easy to clean. Same thing with speckled trout. Speckled trout are some of the easiest fish to clean, in my opinion. Reason for that is I leave the skin on with speckled trout. This is the cleaning moment. Take the back of the knife, they get really small scales. You know, scale them out real good. Don't need a descaler, just use the back of the knife, just, you know, from tail to head. All the way down so you have no more scales, rinse them off, check them a couple of times, and then fillet them out. And, you know, I do it on the grill a lot with speckled trout. I smoke them a little bit. You know, you get the smoker going, or you're doing a brisket, let's say, and you've got a couple of fillets sitting in the fridge. I don't recommend freezing them, the skin on, personally, because they don't last that long in my house. Again, I'm all about sustainability. It's, you know, I eat the fish a day, or that day, or the day after they're caught. They're no older than 72 hours at any point in time. And you know, that's how I roll. I'll do it like that, and you know, throw them on the smoker after the brisket goes in, you know, the fresh grate, you know, an hour tops on the smoker, pull them off, throw them in the oven with a little bit of, you know, onion, maybe some carrot, and, you know, real minced up carrot, and a, you know, a squeeze of lime or an orange, a tangerine. The tangerines are in season right now. So I'll take a couple, you know, thin slices of tangerine and drop that on top of the fillets. Really good stuff there. Those tangerine oils kind of seep in. So you got a smoky, orangey, you know, vibrant flavored fillet in your mouth, and it's just really good. A little bit of pat of butter on top of that. Oh, man. Anyway, but yeah, that's how simple it is to catch the speckle family. Good thing about fishing out here in the East Coast is we get a chance and an opportunity to catch weak fish at the same time. I believe the limit's still down to one weak fish over 14 inches or 12 inches. Sorry, I was getting parched. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, we got the weak fish out here. You know, difference. How you can tell the difference between a speckled trout and a weak fish? Speckled trout is going to have very defined spots, meaning it's basically just a bunch of dots on one side of the fish, okay, on both sides of the fish, running down it. On a weak fish, if you look at the side of the fish, it's a real scattered kind of not a defined spot. Best way to put it. You know, all, like I said, the speckled trout looks like someone took a pen, just put black dots all over them. And it, you know how you put a good dot with a Sharpie and it doesn't bleed. All right, Bill. Pleasure having you on, bud. Call me anytime, email me, whatever, LandyCrew@yahoo.com or Tide Fishing Radio. Thanks again, buddy. But the weak fish looks like someone took that Sharpie to, you know, a wet piece of paper and kind of bled a little bit and, you know, faded. That's the best way to explain them. But weak fish, prepare them the same way. When instead of, you know, filleting them, I leave them whole, you know, gut, gill, and remove all the scales, and then stuff the cavities with parsley, and I use orange on them, on the weak fish. I stuff them with slices of orange, squeeze an orange on top of the body, and I'll score the skin a little bit too, get all those flavors in there. Couple pads of butter, couple, you know, slices of orange in there, and then a little bit of dill. Throw a couple of sprigs of dill in there. And, you know, wrap it up in tin foil, throw it in the oven, and you've got yourself one hell of a great meal. The skin pulls right off, and then you straighten to, you know, great tasting meat. As long as you bleed them out, and that's going to be a subject. If you go to yakangler.com, first video is probably going to post on Monday or Tuesday of next week, on, you know, how to treat your catch, how to fillet your catch. I'm going to be doing it, and it should be a very cool video series. The first one's going to be on what happens when you catch the fish and you decide to keep it. Pretty simple techniques there on taking care of your catch. Probably going to be done out of Rudy Inlet. I'm going to see if I can get a buddy of mine to help me videotape, so I'm not trying to do it on my own. But yeah. You know, check out yakangler.com. Stay focused on Yak Angler. Check it every day. Comment on yakangler.com. We got some great things going on there as well. Discussions on lights for fishing at night going on right now. And you see me on there talking about, you know, staying safe, and I can't stress that enough. Please make sure you are, you know the rules and regulations, because yes, you are in a kayak, and yes, you are paddle driven, but you're still considered a vessel. So please know your rules. Just type in rules of navigation, click on the Coast Guard link, and you're right there to it. You can read them all and know what you're doing. I got some other ones where they're talking about cars park and you know, first catches and questions. And so definitely go to yakangler.com. But I don't think I can best explain it. I think the best one to explain it would be this guy.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
And that is...
Looking for a group of kayak anglers...
slip of the thumb. But that is also where you can find out more information on...
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
That is right. And if you didn't get that, and you just don't understand what it is...
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
That is right. Go to yakangler.com to find out more information on the boondoggle, and like us on Facebook. We've got a boondoggle page put up there. We're up to 110 folks showing up at the Cars Park already. It's less than 100 days. I think we're at 94 days, I think, 95 days. But the boondoggle, again, is President's Day weekend in February at Cars Park, Merritt Island, Florida. If you're not excited, check your pulse, because you might be dead. Every time I think about it, I start shaking and getting all giddy and happy. You got to love it. I mean, this is going to be, I personally think, is going to be the best boondoggle. And that's to say a lot, because, you know, the one we had in Virginia Beach was a great boondoggle. The one in Chokoloskee, Florida last year for the President's Day weekend boondoggle last year was out of this world. And I am super excited. I really hope Florida doesn't get cold. I hope it stays nice and warm, so the variety of fish will be there. But, yeah, this is going to be rock'em sock'em robots awesome, is the best way to put it. So, again, for more information, go to yakangler.com/boondoggle or check us out on Facebook at Kayak Fishing Radio. Like us on Facebook because we like you too. All right. It's been about an hour. It's about that time to call it. I'd like to thank Old Bill for showing up, you know, in Kansas, the guests in the chat room, and the illustrious Mr. Yak Chum up in Jersey. Good to see that you're alive and kicking there, buddy. Tune in tomorrow night. Chip Gibson's going to be on, the original Tree Hugger, Kayak Fishing Radio host. Always a good time. You know, I really enjoy the Thursday nights. I haven't been able to get on because I've been so busy. So tune in tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, same place, same time. And actually, this is where you can go over all the shows. From Monday to Thursday, with Redfish Chuck on Monday, the Loziers on Tuesday, this guy, Landing Crew, Mark Wheeler on Wednesday. I don't know who he is, but you know, I heard he's kind of a cool guy, so you should go check him out. And then, you know, the original Thursday night Kayak Fishing Radio Show with the Buzzards Row and, you know, Rob talking about doing videos and stuff like that. Let's see here. There it is. Buzzards Row. So, with that, I'd like to thank everyone that, you know, that supports me. Jackson Kayak, Mustad, Bubba Blade, my newest one. I can't say enough about Bubba Blade. Robson Paddles. There's a secret to that one, baby. And Mustad, I support Akuma. I support Penn, Shimano, and support your local tackle shops. With that, I'll say goodnight. Please, take your kids fishing. Never go out in the water without your PFD. Keep it on you. Put it on you. It's doing you no good sitting on it in your tank. Well, please keep your PFDs on. It's cold out now. Wear proper clothing. And I will catch you next week only on Blog Talk Radio, the home of Kayak Fishing Radio. Good night, everybody.